Life's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard. Hard reset.
Come on, Brent.
Life's good.
Got real close.
The hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham, Scott, alongside, as always. Hello, Scott.
Sean, good evening. Welcome to the show. I wanted to ask you a question. What sort of things do you like to do for fun inside that don't involve restaurants or bars?
So going out.
Yeah, like
outdoor, like out of the house, indoor activities.
Out of the house, indoor activities.
Okay. That's a really good question. Sorry, I'm mildly distracted. You have the baseball game on behind you, Scott. And a Cubs player just went like ass over tea kettle over first place or first base and is now lying on the ground as you were asking that question. But I'd say sporting events would be one, right? Curling. Is a indoor going out activity. Bowling, karaoke.
Yeah. Oh, karaoke, yeah.
You know, that's a third thing to do at night.
Private room karaoke or like a bar full of people?
Yeah, no, you need the crowd. I don't understand this private room karaoke thing. You need the energy of the people.
I guess that's true.
You know, if you're singing in front of four or five of your friends, that's no fun.
Yeah, what's the point? You could do that in your house.
Yeah, like if I'm going out, I want a bar full of people. Okay. And let's have some fun here, you know?
Let's go. Let's go.
So I would guess those things, although I don't really do many of them. So.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Therein lies the question, right? I'm like trying to think of things to do. And I don't know what to do. Like,
yeah, I mean, we've done escape rooms before.
Yeah, escape rooms are fun.
Yeah, or those board game cafes.
Oh, yeah, the board game cafe. That'd be a good idea.
That's going to be pretty fun, too.
Okay.
All right, John. Kind of like going to a restaurant.
I guess a little bit. Like, you can have a beer while you play a game. But there's some sort of, like, point to getting a beer instead of just a beer for a beer's sake.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you go to your local library.
Yeah. Yeah. I go to the library, not a lot, but not like,
not a lot. Yeah.
Like somewhat regularly. Yeah. Mostly just to get a book, not really to stay.
Right.
Or browse.
But there's usually activities going on at the library, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
there are a lot as well, certainly in this town. As we are in the nation's capital, there are always a lot of like free exhibits you can go see, like at City Hall. There's always, they have two exhibit rooms that you can go see stuff. I went in the fall when I was around City Hall into the exhibit on music in Ottawa, the history of live music in particular in Ottawa. And
you got museums, right?
Yeah, museums. The Museum of Civil, or not Civil Rights, of Human Rights in Winnipeg. They have a traveling exhibit, which is in Ottawa right now at the National Arts Center. So, you know, there's always stuff to go do.
Okay. But I say this because as we speak, it has been disgustingly hot for about 5-6 days.
Yes.
And going outside is not that fun, but, you know, at a certain point you want to get out of the house.
Of course.
Yeah, but Sean, I went to the gym today and my gym's air conditioner has not been working properly all summer. And so they were just like, oh, it's weird. It's not getting cold with the door opening and closing all day.
Mm.
No, it turns out that their air conditioner needed servicing. So when I got there today, it was like, oh, this is glorious.
Yeah, you could do a lot more reps.
I was able to do a HIIT workout and got my sweat up, but it wasn't as bad as it would have been otherwise.
Yeah, so. A HIIT workout in this weather. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
It was a it was a sweaty guy. Yeah. Sweaty day.
All right. Well, on that note.
On that note.
Let's get into it. Scott, I said to you before we started to record, this episode is almost a full length shot at our friend Megan Huff, but not entirely a full shot at her. At some point over this last season, I can't remember exactly when it was, but she had an open shot for 8. And if memory serves, she did not get it to the house. I did not see it. She volunteered it. And I thought, well, this could be an interesting episode idea. What are the worst ways that you could miss a shot for 8? And like the one that would make you feel the worst. And then I thought, okay, we could broaden it out to just like the ways that we miss shots. And what are the most frustrating ways that we miss shots? But we'll put it in context of, it's a shot for 8.
It's a shot for 8. If it's a shot for 8, what is the absolute worst way to miss it? Okay. Yes. You've got a list.
I got 10 ways here that we miss shots.
Okay. And I've been thinking about which of these will be the worst.
Okay.
For 8.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's start with what Megan did. And that is the pulling the string on a draw. So whenever you throw a draw, whether it's you're throwing to T-line, top 4, top 8, top 12, pulling the string is a really terrible feeling.
Yeah, especially because, you know, the sweepers usually hit it right away.
Yeah, and you know.
And you're like, oh, no. Oh, this is bad. Yeah. And, like, so in general, yeah, missing a shot by pulling the string, usually not what you want to do. Of course, there's always situations where the pro miss is to come up late. Let's say you're trying to put one in and put pressure on the team. Okay, well, you end up as a guard. At least that puts something in their way. That's a situation where if you're just a little heavy, then you've just given them something to come down to. So there's occasions when, yeah, missing light is the pro side miss. But when you're shooting for 8, Sean, it is most definitely not, because there's probably a lot of rocks you could run into.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? The whole house, there's at least 7 rocks in the house.
Yeah. So
And unless all of them are kind of piled up together in the top 12 foot somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really much excuse.
Yeah. Like if you've got maybe a shell where they're circling the top 12 foot and they're all biters.
Yeah.
Then you might be like, oh boy, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
But no, you definitely don't want to miss light.
Yes. All right. So that one, I think, especially on a draw for 8, would be extraordinarily frustrating. Another one, and this could be for any amount of points, but the rollout on a hit. Ooh. So, you know, if you make the hit, you make the other team's stone go away, but you lose your shooter. That can be exceedingly frustrating, again, especially if it was 1 for 8, and especially sometimes when it's like, you're like, oh, is it a biter? Oh, do we put the 6 foot stick on it? And like, those ones are really frustrating. And I think they're frustrating for me, Scott, mostly because for me, it's from overthrowing. And that's where the rollouts come from, is instead of throwing the more controllable weight, you know, kick too hard or do a little arm extension, then you roll out and it's just purely an overthrow and there's nothing that anyone could do about it.
Yeah, most of the time that's what it is. It's an overthrow. And when you're trying to hit and stick, you probably don't want to throw much more than like a good board weight, maybe easy control.
A heavy hack,
but
heavy hack, easy board.
Yeah. So like you don't want to up it too much, just because then it makes it harder to stick that rock. And let's say you're hitting for 8, but the rock that you're hitting is the shot rock.
Yep.
So you hit it and roll out, you still get 7. That's definitely not as bad as pulling the string on a straight up draw for 8, right?
No.
You're like, hey, they were going to score 1. You're still getting 7.
Yeah.
They were going to score 1.
Yeah.
We got 7.
Yeah.
That's like a difference of 8 points.
Yeah. Big 8 point swing.
Big 8 point swing. Yeah. So of these two, Sean, so far, pulling the string for me is still the worst. Hitting and rolling out, not as bad.
Yeah. I completely agree when you're talking about the shot. 4-8, and it can be frustrating. It can be frustrating though to do it. All right, the next one. You flash the open hit, and in this case, you give up a steal.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, that's pretty embarrassing. Yeah. This much worse than the rollout. Still probably a result of overthrowing.
Yeah, probably. Right?
Yep. Probably. But yeah, if all you have to do is hit it and you hit and roll out and you get seven, or you hit and stay and get eight, both of those are still better outcomes than the flash and giving up a steal of one. So, oof. Yeah, not great.
9-point swing.
9-point swing in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's almost as big as a swing you can get. Like, theoretically, there might be, like, at some point, a triple for eight.
Right.
But
probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it's overthrowing. And that one I could forgive a little more. Or, sorry, I could forgive the rollout hit, because especially if you're going for eight, you're probably a little jacked up, you know, heart rate gets up. So you're going to overthrow it. The flash means like you're way too jacked up in all likelihood.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty bad. I still think the pulling the string on the draw is worse. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely a bad thing to do to end up flashing one. Like, that'll get you a Dean Moser face palm.
Yeah.
Very easily.
And the look to heaven. That Dean does. Arms out. Yep. All right, Scott. Another one. The float out. So this could be on the kick or on the release, where you just float it wide and you have to watch all the way down as it's never coming back.
Yeah, is this on a draw or a hit?
Honestly, well, for a shot for eight, it would have to be a hit, I think. If you float out a draw for eight, probably doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, you might get it to come back, just given the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, these, to be honest, are my like biggest hated shots, is when I slide nice at the broom and then I just do something dumb and you're like, as soon as you let it go,
yeah,
it's like, oh, shoot, that's... Yeah. Bad.
It's just way out there and it just keeps falling because you've floated.
You just want it to come back and you're like, curl, just curl.
Yeah. So this is caused, I find this happens at least to me more often on the outturn.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm letting it go, you kind of pull the rock with you a bit. Like you just don't get your fingers off the stone as you're turning it. And so this is where you're talking a counterclockwise turn for a right-handed player and you're letting it go. And just for me, it's the fingers, like the fingertips catch the rock a bit as you're trying to let it go. And that brings the stone further to the right again, for a right-handed player, be clockwise for a lefty. And the same idea that the fingertips would let go just, or bring it to the left for a left-handed player.
Yeah. For me, it's, I tend to set it a little bit just because of the ice we play on is, pretty forgiving in general of that, but so to make it go straighter, it's a bit easier to set it just a bit. But if you overdo it and you get it outside the line sometimes, like if you're too far outside, then it never comes back and you're just looking at it going, oh man, and it ends up hitting like further outside of where the broom was when you put it down, and that's just a terrible feeling.
Yeah, and I think this was worse a few years ago where you just really had to watch it. At least now people start to like try to carve in this. So
yeah.
You could be somewhat invested in it, but you know.
But it's one of those right out of your hand, you know, you've missed it and you go, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
So this one, Sean, not as bad as pulling the string, but I think it's the second worst.
Okay. So you got that second worst. All right. Now let's go to the opposite end of that then. The dump, where you're turning the rock in. And again, this one, I think for me, probably happens more on the intern side, where you just over-rotate with the wrist on the release and sort of pull it, again, for a right-handed player to the right on an intern. And for a left-handed player to the left, where you're just, again, just holding onto the stone too long or over-rotating, whatever it would be. But that one's really terrible too, similar to the float, because once you let it go, there could be the immediate like start to sweep it, but you just as it curls, and it's especially on a hit, and you just see it like it might be starting in the middle of the rock, and it just slowly moves away to the point where it's
Sean, I think with the float, you've always got the hope that maybe it will catch that curl and come back. But when you dump it, it can be gone right away. And then there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah.
By the
it's over.
So,
yeah. The dump is pretty tough.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. All right, Scott. Now, all these ones have been thrower errors.
Yes.
So
but that's not the only way you can miss a shot.
That is not the only way you can miss a shot. Scott, how about a missed line call?
Ooh, a missed line call.
Yeah. So rock is thrown well on the broom.
Yeah.
Speed is pretty close. But we just missed that line call.
Ooh, boy, Sean, that's tough. That's tough because the line call is... It's like probably the most subtle thing that happens. And oftentimes the skip will start assuming, of course, these are all skip throwing because it's for eight. The skip will start yelling. Sweepers rightfully should listen to the person in the house.
Correct.
But I think when it's a missed line call like that by the person in the house, the thrower still has a chance to override that person and like really scream if they see something happening. If both of them miss the line call, then you can just say, oh, weird patch of ice. Like, we didn't expect it to do that.
Right.
But if, so in that case, I don't think that's that bad. That's just a, hey, we didn't really know the line. We missed the line call. Oops. But when it's the other way, when it's like one or the other, you know, sometimes you even have the thrower overriding the person in the house and the person in the house was right.
Right.
And in that case, I think it's like maybe not as bad for the skip because they're the one that made the bad decision so they can own it. But their team might be mighty, mighty angry.
Yeah, so, this is where you find out how well you get along as a team.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think on this one, Sean?
This one is really tough because it's not necessarily like a physical error, right? Yeah. Like the other ones are like everyone's kicked too hard. Everyone's dumped one in. Everyone's floated one out. Like that happens. That's inevitable. Missed line calls, though. Like there's so many reasons why it could happen. Like you're expecting it to jump. You're misreading out of the hand. Mm-hmm. It's a spot of the ice that you haven't played yet. Like there's so many different reasons for it where it's frustrating, but I don't think it's as frustrating because you could do, and we'll get to it in a minute, but you could be like certain people on tour who just blame the ice and you know, they didn't miss, they did everything absolutely right. And so like, there's more of an out of it, if not a full excuse. So I think people tend to, on a missed line call, not necessarily be critical of what they did, but put it on, oh, like, I can't believe that happened. Like how many times has Brad Gushue come down and been like, I can't believe that didn't curl.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, from our perspective playing recreationally, You're not gonna get like too upset with somebody for missing a line call. Like it happens.
Yeah.
Unless before the shot you were like, specifically in this exact spot, I expect that it's going to curl. Yeah. So get on it hard early.
Yeah.
And don't miss that sweep.
Yeah, get it right.
But like, nah, that's pretty rare.
So, sure.
Yeah, I think this is the most forgivable one, Sean.
Okay. All right, next one, similar vein, but this is an oversweep in which the sweepers jump the rock out of the hand without prompting. So this is one that there's a couple of teams that I've played on over the course of my curling days in which you have sweepers who are very eager and will go pretty hard on the stone right out of the hand, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then what I find really frustrating is, especially on draws, and in this case, it wouldn't be as big a deal unless they swept it through a house for a draw for eight by jumping it. But if it ends up like 2 feet deep and they jumped it for the first 10 feet out of the hand, you're just like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to throw it to the sweepers, but you're also not supposed to always jump it.
Yeah. So I totally agree that if this was a sweeping it through the house on a draw, that would be the maybe most upsetting way to miss.
You're it. Off the team before the next end, right?
Yeah. Get out of here, man. You know what? You go take a seat. You're buying us beers tonight, and you're not playing the rest of the game.
Yeah. This is where we need a curling penalty box.
Ooh, I like this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pitch it to the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Curling then, penalty box.
Yeah. It'd be like in Slapshot where the guy's like, yeah, you do that. You go to the penalty box and you feel shame.
Yeah. 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 For sure. 100%. So obviously that's bad. When it's guys that do it all the time, it kind of is what it is. You can say before you throw the rock, don't jump this. I know it's going to go. If they're jumping it because they think it needs it for weight,
yeah,
that's one thing. Usually on hits, it's
fine.
Not a matter of weight, right?
Yeah.
But if they jump it because they think they need it for weight, and then it's heavy and rolls out or goes through or flashes, obviously a little bit more frustrating for the thrower than if you had made the physical error yourself.
For sure. And again, it's another one where you find out how much you like each other.
Yeah.
Can you actually deal with this?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, it's one of those things that it's more forgivable from a team perspective, but maybe less forgivable from the thrower's perspective.
Yeah. Cause I would say as a thrower, when one is overswept and like clearly overswept and everyone is on the same page. So yeah, we overswept that. I find that more frustrating than when I'm a sweeper and the thrower misses on like a dump or a float or like too much weight, like anything like that. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that happens. Like the sweeping one, it's like it's a conscious decision. It feels like you're making a conscious decision to do this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a physical error that, oh, just could happen to anybody. It's like, no, we looked and we decided you're hitting this. And the sweepers also feel bad about it. So
for sure. Well, you hope so. You hope they do.
I mean, unless they're sweeping it all the way to the end line to like get it out because they don't want us to score seven.
Right.
Then they're definitely off the team.
Yeah. And then they go feel shame.
Yeah.
Hopefully. All right. Scott, let's do another one that is somewhat sweeping related. We'll go with a burn.
Ooh, a burn.
A burn by a sweeper, whether foot or broom, things happen. People slip. You get too close to the rock. Stuff happens. You know, and unless you are... you know, the Chinese men's team, it's going to mean the stone gets pulled off and there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is worse if it's the situation where you're hitting to, you know, get eight and you end up giving one.
Sure.
As opposed to, okay, we've got an open draw for eight or we're drawing the 8 foot for our 8 points. And they're just fighting to get it there. And, you know, the brooms hit each other and it hits the rock. Like, yeah, that happens. So,
yeah.
But when it's on a hit, I think it's a little bit worse.
Yeah. So you'd be a little more forgiving on a draw burn?
I would be, just because, you know, presumably it's because they're getting into the sweep to get it there because it needs it. You know, if they're just doing the light cleaning and then hit the, hit the rock, that's not great.
No, that is true. And I think the circumstances of this one matter too. Like, did you slip? Like, because that happens. Like, were you just careless and being too close to the stone? Like, there are certain circumstances that relate to a room? Is it a miscommunication where you don't know who's in the inside sweeper, who's the outside, you hit brooms and then you touch the rock? Like, there are different circumstances on the burn, that some of which are more frustrating than the other ones.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit like, hey, is everybody okay? Let's make sure everyone's fine. Okay, nobody's hurt. Now who do I yell at? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Now who's off the team?
Yeah.
Well, we had one in the Perry in the spring where I was playing, and it was Rob Schmidt and I were sweeping, and I think someone called switch, and I didn't get my broom out of there. I was the inside sweeper and wanted to switch him going inside. I didn't get out fast enough. Yeah. And so I hit his broom and he went down. And I felt really bad on that. But he also burned the rock. Not only did he go down, but he burned the rock as well. So those situations you feel really bad about.
Yeah, not great. When you've got an error that happened and everybody's just like, ah, shoot.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't for eight.
It wasn't for eight. Unfortunately, he was okay.
Yeah. Very fortunate.
All right, Scott, next one. A hogline violation.
Ooh.
So you're just holding on to the stone a little too long. And in the olden days of 5 years ago, the red light comes on. But right now it would be you call it on yourself, or the other team calls it on you, whatever it would be. But you get that hogline violation.
I think we have a new leader in the clubhouse, Sean. This would be absolutely the worst way to miss it, because it's totally within your control.
Yeah.
I suppose it would be worse if you know you let it go properly and the lights malfunctioned. But a hog line violation can't happen in that situation.
No, it really shouldn't ever happen in any situation.
No, exactly. Like,
the hog line doesn't move.
Hog line doesn't move. Throw the same every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the hog line violation would be absolutely brutal. And I don't unlike the rollout or flash or whatever, like, that are done by adrenaline, I guess theoretically a hog line violation could be adrenaline. You're kicking harder than you normally would, but I can't think of the reason why you would have a hog line violation.
So the most likely that I could see would be a double touch.
Yeah, okay.
Right? You're going to throw a draw.
Yeah.
You started to let it go and you go, oh no, I need more, touch it again and just push it a bit.
Yeah.
And that would be a burn. So yeah, that's probably the most likely. But yeah, if you just hold on to the rock and let it go after the hog line, you deserve to not get 8 points.
Absolutely. All right, Scott, our last one here, the 10th one, the classic, the one that I would say most pro misses. This is the cause, according to the players. A pick.
Oh. So to me, a pick is not as frustrating as the hogged rock or the pull the string or even the dump, because it is just sort of out of everyone's control.
Right.
It is a terrible way to lose an eight ender, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you're telling stories after the game.
Yeah.
Oh, boys, we had a chance for an eight ender there. And I'll tell you what, picked up a piece of corn and went sideways. And then at least you've got a good story out of it. Yeah. But
that might be better than getting the eight,
I guess. Yeah.
In terms of stories.
You say the story like, oh, yeah, we just drew for eight.
Yeah.
It was no problem.
Fine. Yep.
Yeah.
But this one,
that's really bad.
Pretty legendary.
I guess, like, yeah. Yeah. And maybe someone would feel bad for you and, you know, buy you around or something. And you're living on that story the rest of your life. Yeah. Okay.
It's close. So I think, you know, what's frustrating about the pick is we had one in the Perry, not this past season, but this season before, where the last shot of the game, you had an open shot to win.
Yeah.
Like spun around and ended up, we were on sheet one, and like if we hadn't stopped it, it would have ended up on sheet five.
Yeah.
And we ended up, it was meant we went to a draw to the butt and won the game, but I remember being really annoyed at that.
Like, yeah, you're right. It was really annoying.
Yeah. And I think so it comes down to this question of most of these other ones, well, actually all these other ones are the result of people making mistakes. And so it's theoretically within everyone's control and something happened. Yeah. A pick is usually not within your control. Maybe you could make a case of, well, you should have cleaned it or whatever. But if it's a footprint or something, like, it's out of your control. So what do you want? Like, would you rather lose on a mistake that you've made or lose on just a random, really bad break?
Yeah, good point, Sean. Good point. I think you're right. I think you would rather lose on a mistake that you've made rather than something totally random. I think something totally random is maybe easier to swallow at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Even though, yeah, because there's nothing you could have done different.
Right.
So yeah. You're like, oh, well, you know, I think I did it right. But that makes it all the more frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing to improve at that point. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And I remember that, Sean, that game where it picked and I was like, what the, come on, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And you were really angry.
Yeah.
And then I put it on the pin.
Yes.
For the draw to the button. And you said that was like the most.
I was the most fired up I've ever been.
Ever been for curling.
Yeah.
Just like, heck yeah.
Yeah. And it was because we just so clearly outplayed this team.
Yeah. The whole day.
Like, and then this terrible pick and they get three in the eighth to tie. Like,
yeah,
it was just really annoying that. Yeah. And it wasn't anything against the other team. They were delightful.
Yeah. They were very pleasant, but it was just like, they shouldn't have won that game.
They shouldn't have won the game, you know?
Yeah.
So there you have it. Those are 10 ways to miss a shot. So Scott, are you going hog line violation is the most frustrating if you were going for eight?
Yeah, I think it's the most annoying knowing that I hogged a rock that cost our teammate. I'd be the most angry about that one.
Okay. I think I agree, but I would also say a flash too. The flash would be the other one for me. Like where you give up a steal in that, like that would hurt.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
So are there any that I miss? Scott, can you think of any other ways that we miss shots in this beautiful sport of curling?
That we miss a shot for eight. I think like you've got the draw where you pitch it through.
Yeah, the heavy draw.
Yeah. So in this case would be one where the sweepers don't touch it. And it just happens to find some hole.
Yeah.
Or it's on the opposite side of the ice from all the other rocks.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any backing and just sails right on through. Mm. That's pretty frustrating.
Yeah. Another one where I think we talked about this with the, when you float it or when you dump it as well, where you just kind of have to watch.
Yeah.
You just have to sort of stand there helpless. Watch it happen. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. Those ones are really annoying.
Yeah, super annoying because you're just like,
please make it stop now.
It's a slow motion. No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that slow motion train wreck.
Yeah, really bad.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. The worst ways or most frustrating ways to miss shots.
Has anybody out there, I want to hear, has anybody missed a shot for eight?
Megan.
And if so, was it better or worse than how Megan did it?
Yeah, so there you go. You can compare yourself to our friend Megan Hoff, who missed a shot 4-8 earlier this year and gave us this wonderful idea for an episode. So Scott, maybe it was all worth it.
Maybe it was. You know, I was walking downtown on Saturday and apparently I walked right by Megan's house and she thought it might have been me but wasn't sure. So texted me later and was like, hey, did you walk by my house tonight? I said, I don't know. Where's your house?
Yeah, because she didn't move recently. Yeah,
it's a year and a half since she moved. So Yeah.
Feels time recent.
Flies. Time flies.
Yeah. Sheesh. Yeah. All right. Well, so there you have it. That's going to be it for this week. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you have not yet, please do subscribe wherever you get your podcast, like, rate, comment, all that good stuff. Helps other people find the show, keeps us growing. Head on over to GameStonesPod.com. All past episodes are there for you, plus a link to the merch. And if you want to reach out, let us know what you want to hear in the show, GameOfStonesPodcast@gmail.com. We're on the socials at GameOfStonesPod, except on Facebook, where it's Game of Stones Podcast. Scott, I don't know if you know this, because it doesn't fully apply to you, but today, on the day that we are recording, August 13th, it is National Left-Handers Day.
Oh, wow. They got a day for everything, don't they?
Yeah. A gold line tweeted out that it was National Left-Handers Day.
So, Sean, you don't play left-handed.
I don't, but I do fine motor skills left-handed. So I write and eat left-handed, but like I throw a baseball and golf right-handed. Anything that requires more power.
Yeah, but you swing a baseball bat left-handed.
Correct. But I feel like that's a fine motor thing where the left hand is controlling the sort of where the back goes and the right hand provides the power.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but that's in my head how I've rationalized it.
There you go.
I also use a mouse with the right hand, so I don't know.
Yeah. You used to switch it when you were a kid, right?
I could a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely couldn't. So that's great. Sean, I was gonna ask you how you celebrate National Left-Handers Day.
Well, of course, privately.
Of course. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Sorry to intrude.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, Scott, I really don't think that's any of your business. I celebrate National Left-Handers Day.
Very good. Very good.
So that was going on today. Hope all the left-handers felt very appreciated and validated here on August the 13th, Scott said, very hot here in the nation's capital, hot all over the country. And hopefully everyone is staying safe with the wildfires that we're seeing all over the country. Really some scary stuff going on. So hope everybody is staying safe and hopefully we can get some rain where it is much, much needed all over North America and Europe as well. Yeah. Like we need rain here, Scott.
Sean, I got caught in a thunderstorm this morning on my bike.
Okay.
I went to the dentist, and as I went in, I was like, ooh, those clouds don't look very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came out, and it was a holy deluge.
Yes.
And I rode home in it because I was like, well, I'm not going to wait around for 30 minutes for this to pass.
Yeah.
And the worst part was that I couldn't really see through my glasses because they got all a bunch of rain on them.
Sure.
So I was going slow, but you don't really want to go slow on the bike and like get hit by a car or something.
Of course. So
anyway, it was fine, but I definitely needed a towel.
Yeah.
When I got home, and my clothes were still not dry when we recorded this podcast.
So. Yikes. Yeah. Scary stuff. Fun. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of nuts. I got into my office when it was like raining. So like I usually in the summer, I go into the office shorts, t-shirt and change because I have the great luxury of a door where I am. And so I was a little wet, but as I was changing, it turned from like a hard rain to like monsoon for 10 nuts. Minutes. It was nuts.
Yeah.
And then it just ended.
Ended and got sunny and hot again.
Yeah. So but we need more of the rain, certainly here in the Ottawa Valley and all over the country. As I say, some of the images coming out of Europe are very scary as well. So I hope everyone's doing well out there, staying safe, and we will be along with you through the rest of the summer talking curling. Hopefully keep you a little cool in these warm months as we get closer and closer to Labor Day and the full-on start of the next curling season. Have had a few curling news things come out. We'll get to those over the next few weeks. So if you want to hear those, please join us when we talk to you again real soon. But until then, keep those brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
make the final.